Hey, good news. We have a new episode today in the Azure Enablement Show in the Well-Architected series. And today we're going to be talking with my colleague, David Steele, about reliability and how you enter into thinking about reliability with you, for your workloads on Azure. Join us. Welcome to the Azure Enablement Show, where we'll be discussing the challenges you and our other tech-savvy customers have encountered. Together, we'll be talking with experts to find out how they think about these problems, recommended tools and best practices, and tips they have learned from years of experience that you can use. So today, we're going to be talking with my colleague, David Steele, about reliability. And to make this a little more realistic and to make it more like a conversation that I would have as a customer, what I'm going to do is switch into customer mode like we discussed in the intro. Hey, David, I have a problem and I could really use your help. So we recently had an outage of some workloads that we have running on Azure. And now I'm really concerned about reliability. I'm concerned, I've sort of been a little shaken and I'd like to know what to do to help improve my reliability.
Got it. That's help me out to start with here. What are we talking about when you say reliability? What do you mean by that?
I'm using it in the plain sense of the word, you know, reliability. What do you mean with reliability?
So when you say you want things to be more reliable, I take it that you're saying you want customers to be able to get what they expect out of the application, right? From the customer's perspective, they're able to use those systems in the way that you would want them to. But I think it would be helpful for us to be a little bit more specific here. When we're talking about reliability, we might be talking about availability, right? Is my service up? Is it accessible? We might be talking about latency or performance. Is my service responsive? You probably heard the saying, you know, slow is the new down. People aren't going to keep retrying. So that kind of factors into reliability as well. Or even, you know, are they getting the full fidelity experience? Are you having to water down some features for them, or do they get the latest and greatest? So all of these different aspects contribute towards reliability. And it sounds like you're talking about improving availability specifically.
Yeah. That. Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. So. Okay. Let's just talk about availability, because that I'll be more specific. So I would like to know how I can improve my availability, but I'm not entirely certain. Like, what can I do? What levers can I pull to improve availability?
Right. Yeah, that's a really good way of framing it in terms of what levers can you pull, because some things are outside of your control, right? So if we think about the availability of applications that are running on Azure, there's kind of two components here. There's a difference between platform reliability and the application reliability. So on the platform side of things, obviously Microsoft's accountable for making sure that we have the data centers in place, the networking in place, that we're deploying changes carefully, that we're performing maintenance in the least impactful way possible. It sounds like you're not asking about that area. I can send you a link if it's interesting afterwards to the Advancing Reliability blog series that our Chief Technology Officer runs on. Here are the levers that Microsoft is pulling to improve the reliability of Azure. But when you're talking about what can you do as the customer, it really comes down to a couple of things. There's choosing and configuring the right building blocks. And then separately from that, there's making sure that your application kind of understands that it's living in the cloud. To talk about some of those building blocks, I can pull up a slide here that might be helpful.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Because it kind of depends, the right building blocks that you would use really depends on the type of problem that you're trying to mitigate against. And so since you're talking about improving availability here, I'll step through a couple of different examples of some of these problems and what they might look like. So if I have a look here, on the one hand, we could have something like an isolated VM failure, right? You might have a disk issue that only impacts one of your resources. That would be a pretty small blast radius of a problem. Separately to that, we might picture a slightly worse issue. We could have an entire rack within a data center have a problem with it. So we would call that, you know, something like a slightly wider hardware failure there. Worse still, we could think about an entire data center having a problem. If we picture like a power issue or a network issue where the entire building is impacted, that's kind of the next step up in terms of the blast radius. Or worse still, we could think about an entire region having a problem. maybe because of a natural disaster, if you know that it's flooding or a tornado or something that could impact an entire region. Again, that's the biggest kind of blast radius here. So when I talk about making sure that you're picking the right building blocks for each of these, we can now lay on top of this some of those reliability capabilities that you can choose to enable as needed. So for example, if I click into here, something like premium storage, running your application storage on solid state drives instead of hard disk drives, you'll find that that will reduce the number of times that you have a hiccup with that by choosing one of those optional services. Similarly, the way you could mitigate against a hardware failure like a rack issue would be to use availability sets to say, I want to run this in a highly available, I want to run two of these virtual machines, for example, and we'll go and put them on opposite sides of the data center so that even if you know there's a problem with a single rack, it's not going to cause you a problem because you can, you're fault tolerant to that because of that active-active configuration. In the third example here, if we think of a data center issue, that's where you could use something like availability zones to say, I want to run this virtual machine in two different data centers or two different zones within the same region. And that's where we make sure that those different buildings have very independent power, networking, cooling, so that any issue that impacts a single building isn't going to bring down multiple zones at the same time. So that's where we would use something like availability zones. And then in the final instance here, if we start thinking about how do I survive a problem that's as big as a region, that's where we start to look at using Azure Site Recovery or some of our region pairing redundancy technologies to make sure that your stuff is running not just in a single region, but that you can fail out to an alternative region. So when I talk about these different building blocks, hopefully that gives you a lay of the land of the different reliability considerations that we've got and how you would plug into those. And then I mentioned finally, regardless of those building blocks, the application that you're running on top of it needs to make sure that it's cloud aware, and it needs to have things like retry logic to make sure that your application can handle little transient failures that are a bit more common in the public cloud. Does that help to orient you around the different levers that you can pull?
Yeah, totally. The only thing that I'm not sure I quite got was it sounds like you're talking about things that I might want to care about when I'm doing the initial design. But in this particular case, the problems that we were having, the outages we were having, were with existing workloads, right? They'd already been designed, they already moved to the cloud, they're already happily running there, I thought, just fine, and then this happened. So is this sort of advice just for new stuff, or like, where do I go from there?
Right. Yeah. I mean, honestly, there will be design considerations that you wish you had done up front, right? There are some things that are going to be quite hard to do later on. But the truth is that no matter where you are in that application lifecycle, there's always things that you can do to help improve the reliability of your system. And so a lot of the resources that we have, we'll talk about that, you know, during the design phase. But realistically, we do see customers and partners all the time who, you know, for whatever reason, they've decided to refactor one of their cloud applications. Maybe like you, maybe they were impacted by an outage that they could have been resilient to had they architected a little bit differently. And so they're using that to now go and have a look at back to the drawing board and what are the things that we can tweak and change. So some of those will be easier than others. You can go in and enable backup for a storage account pretty easily. But with some of the building blocks that we were just talking about, if you haven't already designed your app to be highly available to run in multiple places at the same time or to run across availability zones, it will be a bit of a heavier lift for that to come later in the application lifecycle, but it's definitely not something that the customer should be afraid of. And there are ways of refactoring it that won't require having to disassemble everything that you've already made. So definitely there's some low-hanging fruit that can help. And then depending on your goals or the objectives that you're trying to obtain, you're absolutely right that we might need to take some of the architecture back to the drawing board and make some more significant changes.
Okay, so this is a lot to think about. I think I have to probably do a little bit of research on this. And I'm also interested in getting your opinion on my existing one, but let me start with that research question. Like where, if I wanted to go figure out like what resources are available to help me think through this stuff, where can I get info?
Yeah, there's a bunch of good resources. I'll send you an email after this with a couple of links, but the kind of way to think about it is we've got the docs site on docs.microsoft.com that goes really specific into a particular capability or a particular feature. So for example, I mentioned availability zones. If you wanted to go really deep into understanding availability zones, There's service-specific documentation from those engineering teams that you can go really deep into. But separate from the individual service documentation, it sounds like what you're talking about is more, hey, I've got this application, I'm already running this workload, and I want to improve its reliability left to right, not for each individual component one at a time. And so for that, that's where I'd recommend that you have a look at the Azure Well-Architected Framework, which lives on the Architecture Center as well, but that really covers these guiding tenets to improve your workload. Reliability is one of the pillars. It also looks at things like cost optimization and performance and security. And so that tries to help you to step away a little bit from the service-specific step-by-step, and instead say, here's how you should approach reliability from both a design and operations perspective. I think that's probably going to be closer to what you were after. And as part of that well-architected area, we've also got things like the well-architected review to help you go in and answer some questions about an existing workload. And we've got some good training modules on Microsoft Learn that explain how we approach well-architected and specifically how you should think of reliability and architecting for reliability. So lots of great places to get started.
Okay, so it sounds like I've got a little bit of homework to do. In the interim, I know you don't have a lot of time. Can I show you one of the workloads that I'm running and see what you have to say about it?
Sure, yeah. If you let's pull up an architecture diagram. Help me to talk me through what I'm looking at here.
Okay. Okay, so I know there's a lot of stuff on this particular picture. I just wanted to put it all out there, and let me see if I can just talk you through it briefly. Basically, it's your pretty average thing where there's a front end, and that front end talks to a bunch of back ends. The back ends happen to be living in Kubernetes, but we use different technologies here where there is separate parts to what we're running because we're basically running e-commerce stuff. So this is us trying to sell hardware items online, and so there's the front end which people all go to when they go to tailwindtraders.com. There's a backend that has a bunch of services to do things like coupons and pricing and inventory and stuff like that. There's also a separate rewards app because there are times when we want to incent people to purchase stuff and various other technologies that we're using. So does that give you some sense of what's going on in this kind of busy diagram?
Yeah, I've got my perspective on it now. There's a couple of things here. I mean, I'd love to spend more time with you on this, but what's jumping off the page right at the start, I'm having a look at, for example, you've got this ASP.NET website up here in the top left. I don't have any information about whether or not it would be helpful to have a layer in front of that, to have maybe a load balancer or a CDN in front of that website to help deal with potential issues on the website itself.
Sure.
So I think that might be helpful. Even when I have a look at some of the components, you've got like a SQL database, it's not clear whether the data in that storage account that underlies that, is that being geo-replicated elsewhere? Should we think about maybe protecting that data in that way? And even things like we were talking about availability zones or availability sets, I don't see anything on this diagram that suggests that you've already kind of thought through some of those fault tolerance issues. And so having a look at where we can have an active-active configuration. Yeah, those ones are jumping off the page at me right now, just in terms of some potential single points of failure. But to go much deeper in this, I can happily introduce you to a couple of friends of mine, Sergio and Niels. I'm sure they wouldn't mind spending some more time with you to look at the architecture diagram in detail and maybe walk you through some of those potential changes you could consider.
That would be very cool. If you could send me an email with that and the other links, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure thing.
And with that, I think I should return to host mode. Okay, I'm back as the host. So I want to thank you for listening in about reliability. There's got to be a lot more here to this diagram that we're going to be able to dig into, and I'm going to look forward to doing that with Niels and with Sergio in the next video. So I hope you'll join me there. Thank you very much, and we'll speak to you a little bit later on.